Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Welcome to the Sell or Die podcast. We're your hosts, Jeffrey
and Jen Gittimer.
I'm the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and 15 other best-selling books and the creator of the Seven-Figure Sales Formula Program. I grew up in Philadelphia, sold in New York City, but was smart enough to move to Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I'm the author of Sales in the New York Minute and creator of Breakthrough Business Babe Community. Fun fact, I'm obsessed with our dogs and consider them humans. If you have a dog, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sell or Die is for sales professionals, salespeople, sales managers, entrepreneurs, and business owners who want to sell more at full price, earn loyalty, and have an unlimited stream of referrals.
Every single episode is going to give you real-world, easy-to-implement solutions so that you can get your calls returned, your proposals read and acted on, all while creating relationships that you can take all the way to the bank.
It's time to sell or die.
Well, hi, Jen. It's so rare to see you here right next to me.
Yes, very, very rare.
What's going on, honey?
We're hanging at the beach and building an empire mm-hmm. and writing books and writing course content and mm-hmm. hanging out and watching the ocean.
Racing on the beach.
Yes. Well, we had one fluke race.
Right.
I don't know that it really counts, but you know, you did come in first, kind of a little bit.
I came in the top. You came in the top within the top two, though.
Yeah, against you. So second. So this is the fourth year in a row, if you guys are just following us.
So it is not a fluke.
That Jeffrey has raced me on the beach and won, and he's kind of a little bit older than I am.
Yeah.
And so...
I could have beat her in a wheelchair. Luckily, I'm not in a wheelchair.
My God.
But here's the deal. We're relaxing. And people ask me all the time, every time I've ever asked an audience for questions, I get the same one.
Yeah.
How do you balance work and life? And the answer is, you don't. Or it'd be even better stated, you can't. And people are searching for balance, when in fact you cannot find balance because it changes every day. You know, what is balance anyway? Like you fall down because you couldn't keep your balance, or you're on the balance beam. You can picture some gymnast trying to do a flip or a dismount. But the bottom line is, are you trying to keep work in context with your life, work-life balance or family-life balance?
Every time I hit a bad shot on the tennis court, my coach tells me I wasn't balanced. Mm-hmm. And she's literally like, Jen, you weren't balanced. What are you thinking? Well, she doesn't say that, but she has asked me what I'm thinking. And half the time I'm like, I don't know. I'm not thinking about anything.
Right. So it's a natural occurrence. And what you can't do is let out of balance frustrate you to a point where your attitude turns negative about it. What you have to do is either pre-prepare yourself. So we're on vacation. We have Gabrielle. She's going to require a lot of time. We have a lot of work to do. And it's mental. We can either decide, hey, we're just going to give up time and whatever we have to give to Gabrielle, whatever we have to give to ourselves, we do. The rest of the time is Gabrielle's. Or we can put a list of things down and be frustrated that we didn't get them.
Okay, so here's the real deal, you guys. Here's what happened. I went into our writing vacation with Jeffrey and Gabrielle.
Writing,
you're going to write a book, okay, or write course content or whatever. I went into it thinking that Jeffrey and I would be writing for most of the day. I'd have my hour of tennis every day. And that while Gabrielle was here, well, we were only going with Gabrielle for that week, that, you know, she would mostly self-entertain or hang out with her family that was coming down here for the weekend. And then we'd all do meals together and have some nice family time together. Mm-hmm. But my mentality going into it was very different than the reality of what actually occurred. So when we got here, it was very clear that 11-year-old Gabrielle needed way more attention and family-loving kind of time than I had anticipated. And I went very quickly into mom mode and wanted to be there for her. And every night I would be disappointed because I was getting like 20, 30 minutes of work in a day. And I didn't think of this as a vacation. I thought of this as a writing retreat with our 11-year-old. And I wasn't in vacation mode. I was in writing mode. And so I was mad at myself every single day because I felt like every day was so out of balance for me.
And so for me, I adapted to the situation, realized that I wasn't going to get shit done, had a lot of stuff that I absolutely had to do. I'm on a deadline. And at the end of the day, I thought, well, I didn't get too much done today, maybe tomorrow. And that's how I approached it. But I looked back at my day and I go, was this a good day? And I go, yeah, it was a real good day. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of family fun. We ate a lot of food. We hung out with relatives. Maybe it rained a little bit too much. But the bottom line was, it was fine for me. But I have never struck a balance, or I have never looked at, well, I have to do this, therefore I can't do that, or I need to spend more time doing this. It's always been like a natural occurrence for me. Like, I have a deadline, I'm going to meet the deadline. Or I'm with the family, I want to be with the family. Does it always work? No, it doesn't always work. But I don't get frustrated by it unless there's an outside force that I can't control.
Yeah. And what I've noticed is when you're able to shift your mindset and shift your expectations to meet the current realities, all of a sudden it becomes a hell of a lot easier because now you're looking at it with more of a realistic mindset, and any work that you do is gravy and you're excited about versus the little work that's being done, you're disappointed about. Yeah. And so it's just a change in perspective and a change in your mindset. And sometimes you may need to reframe that for yourself.
I agree. I feel like you have to set an expectation at the beginning of a day, what your day is going to look like or what you'd like to be able to do during the course of the day, but be flexible enough to adjust so that it doesn't become frustrating for you or angering to you, and you're able to concentrate on whatever creative time you have.
So can I ask you the male's point of view to the female question?
What does woman want?
A different female question.
Got you. Okay, cool.
Okay. So I'm in a lot of I'm in a lot of mompreneur groups.
Yeah.
And parents during this quarantine period have had to really change how they parent, especially parents where both parents work from home or weren't working from home and now they're working from home. And it's been very different for them. But what I've heard from moms specifically, the female specifically, is that more often than not, she feels like a lot of the child and children work, so to say, I don't want to call it a burden, but the heavier lifting for the children falls on the mom.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of couples where the couples are equally as successful, and now the mom is, the dad is, you know, in his room working all day long, maybe has lunch with everybody, but the mom is supposed to also take care of the kids and get them through school and learn the remote learning and do the homeschooling stuff and all that. And most of the parents I've spoken to have not had it as easy as we did with Gabrielle's school being so great with the remote learning. So they've had to become teachers as well. So I'm just curious from like the male perspective, because I don't think males do it to hurt the females. I don't think men want to go and hurt, like upset their wives or hurt their feelings. But what do you think is it that females have ended up like going back to that motherly home role?
Well, I think the mom is the natural parent, first of all. It's just what I've observed over the last four decades. that's number one. Number two, it's going to depend if the mom has a career and the dad has a career, then you have to decide on the split of time. But if the mom is a stay-home mom and the dad is a go-to-work dad, it's actually a bonus because the dad is home now.
Yeah, so I think what we have done a good job at, and maybe what other, if you're listening and there's two, you know, you're one of the parents in your home, check in with your wife, check in with your husband. We've done a really good job. Jeffrey, you've done a really good job at communicating with me around, you know, what does Gabrielle need right now? Who's going to be there for her? Who's mm-hmm. going to do what? Mm-hmm. Not putting the full brunt of the work on me, although I'm happy to take on whatever.
Yeah, but taking a walk in the afternoon and giving a break, those kind of things. And they're easy to do if you talk about it.
Yeah,
it's not easy to do if you just expect it, because then expectations don't get met. And then there's hard feelings, and then there's more bullshit. And who struck John? And you said this, but I said this, but you were going to do this, but you didn't do this. And it's so easy to just say, hey, here's what's going to happen today. Here's what I can do. Here's what you can do. And then you do it. And if you can help the other person, you do it. You get a headache, you get tied up, you need a phone call, something happens. You have to be there as a unit, not as a mom or a dad.
Yes, so true.
And that's the balance. That's the real balance, because the kid doesn't give a shit. The kid's like, okay, I need attention, and I need it now. And I don't really care what you're doing, because I don't understand what you do anyway, and please hurry up. It's my turn.
There have been some nights where I've had board meetings or other mm-hmm. coaching sessions at night, and I'll say to you, hey, you know, I have this meeting tonight. And you'll say, oh, okay, so Gabrielle and I on our own for dinner?
Right, we're fine.
And then you figure it out with her, or vice versa. Like, sometimes during the day, you have a thing, and then I take on Gabrielle. And I think for you, diehard, you know, if you have a kid, make sure you're doing a really good job of communicating with your partner, because that the kid can see it, first of all, and the kid can feel it, and so can your spouse.
So let me talk about individual balancing, and then we're going to go.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a calendar like everybody else has a calendar. I slot times in half-hour segments, sometimes hour segments, and I know when it's my time, but I also instruct myself when it's time to write and when it's time to do other things on the calendar, and I'm reminded about it so that it helps me stay sort of in productivity mode. It helps me stay a little bit more on track. So I don't manage time, I allocate time, and that seems to have been a winning formula for me for a long, long time.
Hold on, we cannot just gloss over that. That is so quote worthy. Don't manage time. Say it again.
Don't manage your time. Allocate your time. You have, if you're going to be awake for 10 hours a day or 12 hours, let's say 12 hours. So you have 24 half hour slots. Don't put TV in there and your productivity will immediately double. But put something in there so you know when it's time to take a shower or when it's time to call, you know, Bob on the phone, whatever your circumstances are, allocate your time to a point where you feel productive. And if you have free time, then read.
Yeah, there's something really amazing about allocating your time and really following a calendar. I know that a couple of months ago, I was struggling because it would become like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I wouldn't have had anything to eat all day since breakfast.
Yeah.
And I noticed that that was happening to you as well. And so Stacy, who manages our calendar, was like, hey, I'm going to start putting lunch on your calendar so that you don't forget to eat. And so it totally works, because now you have a block of time that's chunked out. And she usually puts like an hour of time on the calendar. I don't need that much time to eat. But what it does give me is it gives me extra time to take the dogs out, to go for a walk, to just relax, to meditate, to do whatever I need to do. And so what Jeffrey is saying is so powerful and so huge. And if you feel like you're getting to the end of the day and you're not, and you're mad at yourself because you feel like, oh, I didn't accomplish enough.
You didn't schedule it.
You didn't schedule exactly what you needed to do that day.
And what you say is something like this: well, the time got away from me.
Yeah. Or there were too many fires to put out.
Yeah. No. The time didn't get away from you. You pissed it away. It didn't get away. It was pissed away. And so the rabbit holes that you go down, and they're so easy in this COVID time, the rabbit holes are easy to go down.
Oh, man.
I go down music rabbit holes.
He does.
And it's appealing to me. I like it, but I realized, like, after I'm in there for 15 to 20 minutes, I go, shit, I'm supposed to be doing this. So that's the real challenge right now. The challenge is to you. The responsibility is to you. And if you want balance, then create it. That's the only way. You have to create the balance. Otherwise, the balance will not exist.
Yeah. And maybe you can become okay with a seesaw. Maybe it's not all, maybe like what people are always searching for balance, but maybe they're searching for the wrong thing. Maybe some weeks work is going to take a heavier time on your calendar, and other weeks your family or your friends or your hobbies or whatever you're working on that you love to do that's not your day job is going to take a heavier time on your calendar.
And there's a reality. If you're in sales or you're in business for yourself, if you're not working out of balance, your checkbook will be.
Whoa, on that note, I think we're
out of balance. And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm loving doing this podcast with my amazing wife. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gittimer. And until next time,
get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Thank you so much for listening to Sell or Die. We hope that this episode has helped you transform the way you think, given you new ideas, and provided you a new perspective on the sales and business challenges that you face every day, so you can get out there and win the customer all the way to the bank.
If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate and review. Each review helps us help more people just like you make a difference in this world. Don't forget to take a screenshot, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag us at Jeffrey Gittimer and at Jen Gittimer.
See you next week.